Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, we've got some Google news. We're going to talk about scaling back your content.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right. Good Saturday morning to everyone. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me over there via Skype is the one, the only, Jim Cullison from The Average Guy TV. It's .tv, right?
.tv. Yes. Dave, welcome. Thanks for having me. We're having a little Skype. We had a little Skype issue there. I didn't hear the end of that. Sorry about that.
Skype is beautiful that way. It's like a GPS. It knows when you hit record, it's time to start garbling words.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And tell us a little bit, Jim, what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so interested, a little bit of Google Plus, because Google Hangouts are changing. They're always changing, and there's some new features involved in them. And then I've got some thoughts around chat and live interaction during a live show. So I want to throw some things out, ask some questions for you, Dave, and see what you think.
Beautiful. I actually, as you were saying that, I went over and I realized that you were on Wi-Fi. So you're now connected directly. And I was like, we're also trying Mixler today, and what was interesting behind the scenes here is we were set to go on Mixler and Spreaker at the same time, and just for clarity, I've been using a thing from Griffin called an iMic, which I basically just run out of my mixer and go right into the iMic, and it's worked in the past with Spreaker, but today we're using Spreaker and Mixler, and apparently, based on this is a complete guess. Maybe Spreaker wants to be the only person using your input, because it's working fine on Mixler from what I can see. And I went over to Spreaker.com and said, hey, do this. Well, and the reason I say that, what's weird, is we're also out at schoolofpodcasting.fm. You'll be hearing us there as well. So I thought, oh, cool. You can use one device on multiple inputs. And when we went to Spreaker, it was like, no. And of course, Spreaker is always kind of slow to let me pick my microphone in the first place. And I'm back here looking at it now. I thought, well, maybe I clicked the wrong thing. And it's like, no, it's saying it's listening to the iMic. It's just saying there's nothing, absolutely nothing there. So not sure what to do about that. But that's one of the things we do here on the show is we play with technology. And I see now, if I go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, that we are officially on the air, and let's see here. I was trying to see what it looks. I see if you click on the chat window, it takes us over to the, there you go. Ron is already here saying Jim is very loud. Okay. So
I think you meant loud, but, and I just made an adjustment on my end.
So okay.
Ron, tell me if that got any better.
I guess we'll find out. But yeah, one of the things I'm going to be talking about today is I had somebody ask me a question about, I'm not sure what to podcast about. And I thought that's a really good question for Ask the Podcast Coach. So we'll be talking about that a little later. But I wish there, if any live system, I really wish the one thing they would develop would be a reliable, like, VU meter system. Because right now I show that my voice is right where it needs to be. I may be a little too loud. I'm going to back myself down a little bit. But, Jim, go ahead and chat away here. I'll use their little VU meter and see if that gets us any better.
Yeah, I just kind of wondering. This has always been the challenge for us on Saturday mornings, is to get that volume right as we're feeding these into either Spreaker or now Mixler. Although I'm on Mixler. We're live there. And I like the chat room a lot better on Mixler. As much problems as we've had with Spreaker, I think I'm ready to be done with them. from a live standpoint, it's not a great live platform. I want to talk more about that here later, but I don't think it's a great live platform.
Yeah. And now, based on the meters that I'm looking at, you are now as loud as I am. So by the meter, you sound the same. By my ears, I'm like, no way. You sound too low now.
Oh.
But that's
me. Well, maybe we get a little feedback from Ron out there.
So, but yeah, I do like the chat room. It looks like, for lack of a better, number one, I can see multiple chats. It's, I haven't played with it yet here, but I'm assuming, can I have that open in a new window? Don't see that yet, but.
Like the pop out the chat?
Yeah. So I always love, but even with this, I could take it and, drag it into its own window.
Yeah.
could just and things like that.
Do it that way for sure. Yeah. The nice thing we use, we use live stream chat for our shows, and they've got a pop out window that you can get to. That's real nice. I've liked that. So that's been a good positive experience for me.
Very cool. Well, we'll go ahead and let you kick off the show, and that'll give me a chance to sit here and tweak and look at stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Let's talk a little bit about Google Plus, because certainly Google has been working on a Hangout infrastructure, and that's for folks who listen to me or follow me around know that I'm a big Google Plus and a Hangouts fan. I do a lot of my podcasting now, almost all of it exclusively using Hangouts on air. But and it's worked great. The audio's gotten better. Video's great. They made a lot of changes this week, and so it's been frustrating. I think one of the number one themes I've heard out of the podcasters group is it's really frustrating as a podcaster when you get a routine down. You get your screen captures right. You get you figure out the ecosystem, and then Google says, "Oops, we're just going to change everything." And of course, they don't ever tell you they're going to do that, right? So that's another. Let's see. That's another part of Google Plus that's a problem. Is they're constantly changing things over there. But one of the things I wanted to think about, or Dave, I wanted to run by you, is this idea of chat during the live show. And actually, we're getting good chat from Ron. He's kind of our sound guy, telling us it's always nice to get some feedback during the live show. Although it can be distracting, and you know when your host is watching chat and not paying attention, because there's all of a sudden this
random
and then you're like I think chat is a very, very, very important part of live shows. If you're a podcaster and you're doing live shows, if you're doing them alone, if you're doing a mono live show and you got chat, man, you better have your game on, because it's really hard to follow it. But on all the roundtable stuff that we do, chat is a very integral part of what we're doing. When you guys do Podcasters Roundtable, and I've been on that one time, but when we do that, Ray embeds that video in a Google Plus event, and the chat, a stream of consciousness that's below the video window there on the page, and you maybe get 3 or 4 comments at a time, and it's I find it hard to follow when I'm out there. It's not the most efficient way to do it. We embed a live stream chat window more IRC like, and in fact, I think IRC.
Yeah,
kind of chat, more IRC like in the sense that more efficient, kind of your traditional chat room window where it's one line per person, and I can get maybe 16 comments in a window as opposed to 3 or 4 that's on Google Plus. But it's a different service, right? I'm going out and grabbing the embed code for live stream, and I'm putting that at the bottom of the video so folks can chat with it. And I'd really like to get, if I'm going to use Google, I'd really like to have it all in one place. And now Google's even made it more interesting by offering a Q&A feature inside of Hangouts that allow you before the show to take questions. Now, an interesting observation yesterday. Google, I got a chance to meet one of their STEM directors. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. We talk about that a lot in the recruiting sector and in high schools and colleges. But one of their STEM directors, he was hosting this. They're doing these live virtual tours or live virtual field trips for schools. So a school here in Bellevue, Nebraska could go to a museum in New York, and somebody would walk around and curate this tour. Of course, the kids could get a pretty good tour just via Hangout. Then there's this Q&A feature. And what we found is that he was doing what he called office hours, which was basically just a podcast of him talking about what they were trying to do and answering questions. But what I was finding is people were chatting in the Q&A. So after about 10 minutes of questions, people started seeing other people asking questions, and then they started to try to start connecting. It was funny. They were trying to connect in the Q&A. So they were putting like, hey, this isn't a question, but hey, Mary Jo, can you, because they knew they would see it over there. And so Google Plus still doesn't have this great way of chatting. We're seeing this, we're here in Mixlr, and I think this is a nice, straight down approach to it. But Dave, I want to get kind of your impression of chat. I know your podcasts are not traditionally live, right? This is you've done some that way, but typically they're recorded, right?
Typically they're recorded and then just assembled, later. Basically, everything's all post production. My flow is I record my segments, I basically type up a bunch of bullet points and I kind of figure out, okay, here's what I want to start off with. And then I'm going to go to this and I get all my files that I'm going to be using and kind of put those in a folder. But basically I hit record and I record everything I do in one shot. I basically have one big file. I throw that into Adobe Audition, and you can basically just right click on that file and choose split. And that allows me to just take that one big file and split it into multiple pieces. And then I drag my music and, you know, any kind of voicemail or things like that around that file. And then I just mix it down from there to the MP3. So yeah, it's not live. The class I do after this particular podcast, it's called How to Start a Podcast in 6 Weeks. That is live. And I actually got feedback from the second class I did that on one hand, they really appreciated the fact that I was able to answer any question they had live. They said they were really thankful that I had notes because there were times when I would go down a rabbit hole and they said, it's kind of funny if you go back, and I have gone back and listened to those recordings, and you can see where they've asked me one question, which got me maybe just a little bit off topic, and then somebody else will ask me another question and now I'm way off topic. And what I'm doing with this class now is I kind of deliver about 15 minutes of material and then I look at the chat room and say, and see if there are any questions. And then I ask, do you guys have any questions at here? And then great. And then I go on for another 15 minutes because for me, it's easy to just steer me in any direction you want because I'm kind of, guided by my need to want to help people. So if you ask a question, I will just, you know, trash my presentation to answer your question. So I'm doing that now, and that seems to work a lot better. And I think if I was doing a live show with chat, I think that's probably what I would do. I would have, you know, a segment or whatever, and then as I was nearing the end of it, pull up the chat, see what anybody has said, address the chat, and then go that way. Unless I was, you know, openly like, hey, does anybody know, you know, a cheap way to get airfare to New Media Expo or something like that? For the most part, I don't want to ignore the chat because they're there and I really appreciate them. So that would be, that's kind of my game plan, I guess it would be, of looking at that, because I can see where I could get steered, you know, either way. And I think that probably, and you can answer this better than I can, it's probably a mix of both, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me at this point, I couldn't podcast without chat. I gotta have it. I mean, it's just one of those things. I couldn't imagine not getting instant audience feedback during the show. So for me, podcast or chatting or the chat room is a must, right? In my case, right, one of the things I don't like about using live stream chat is it goes away, right? It's gone, right? One of the things I like about the Google Plus page, it's bad chat, but all that chat gets stored on the event. So if you ever wanted to go back, maybe somebody said something and you wanted to go back in that to mine that out of the chat, it's still there. Where with the live stream chat, much like IRC, it's very disposable kind of chat. Mm. So I'm sacrificing, you know, at this point, I like the format better. And I talked to the Google guys about this. I like the live stream format better in the sense that I can get more chat on a page. But I also then what I don't like is I can't keep it. For the podcasting we do here for Gallup, that is a big question I get all the time from the listeners is, hey, is this chat going to be recorded somewhere where I can go back? And I mean, the listeners want to go back and go through it.
Mm.
And so I've been rethinking my, you know, our standard model is a YouTube. I embed a YouTube playlist on a page, and below it, I embed the chat. Same size windows, so it looks uniform. And honestly, you can't tell they're two different services on the page. It just is YouTube on the top and Livestream on the bottom. And Livestream doesn't even require you have an account. You can just create a handle and start chatting, which is another nice feature. If you're going to come over to the Google Plus page, you got to log in with a Google account now. Almost everybody on the planet has a Google account.
So right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's Jim, I see you asked what number to call in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, we lost the call-in number on our Skype. Skype dropped our call-in number.
Oh, did it?
Which I guess we could dial back in, but I was like, you know what? Maybe we'll just won't take calls today.
Maybe we'll just take your calls in chat. So if you have questions, if you have questions for the show, drop them in the chat.
Yeah, there you go. And the one thing mentioning about that is I'm looking at my chat, which goes back 2 years. on this particular, my channel, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, where I can see.
On the Mixler?
Yeah.
On the Mixler?
Yeah, I can see that back on August 2011.
Oh, good heavens.
Andrea said, nope, you gave me a lot of things to think about. You know,
wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of.
So this is chat collected by a channel, right? It's chat specific to the channel, not chat specific to the show.
Right.
Right.
So I think it's mixler.com/podcastcoach.com/chat is actually.
Yeah,
so.
Which is not something I would necessarily like either, in the sense that. Because, I don't know.
Because my whole thing is.
I want to talk through it, you know.
Now, the good news is I do have the ability to go in here and delete. So if somebody's left a nasty gram.
Right.
Because I can see somebody here that said back in 2012, hey, that sounds distorted. So, you know, if I didn't want that there. And now Ron is saying, did the show die?
It does say it's reconnecting on my page. So I'm wondering.
Oh, that's fun.
We lost connectivity. My gosh. I wonder why it's, it might be.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Now he says it's back. So good.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, and that's the John Parker says he sees it, or is he's hearing it as well. So, well, that's the interesting thing about chat, you know, is so this is another element as we think about chat rooms and what you use them for. I like the Google Plus model in the sense that if you create an event for every single show that you do, when you do them live, then all that chat is recorded. It's just a terrible format, right? I mean, I just don't like, you've seen that, right? The Google Plus, it's.
When I went through, when Google Plus first came out and we were looking at, different ways of using it, and I actually had to go through and see what it took to, you know, create an actual a hangout live on air, and the whole event thing, it is not user-friendly. And I still get people today, even though I have some tutorials on my YouTube page, and I have a couple of people, you know, like once a week will say, thank God for these tutorials, Dave. Thank you so much for showing this, because you have to kind of create the event. Then you go back in and schedule it. And then once it's live, you have to go back and swap it out. And it's all these extra steps. And it's not super friendly, to say the least. And I keep thinking that somehow they'll find a way to fix that. But
well, to add insult to injury on this, I think for me, I create a live event, and I actually create a separate. I have a separate Google account that I use for the live events only. And I kind of treat it like a raw, like the podcast raw storage area for the video. So I log in with a separate account and on a separate PC. It's just kind of part of the way I do my podcasting. And I get that hangout started and actually back it up with live stream. So I start a live stream window at the same time, capture that screen, and I'm broadcasting both live on live stream and live on YouTube at the exact same time. And that works really well, because if one of those services goes down, then I have another backup, right? If it doesn't transcode correctly on YouTube, then I've got a backup of live stream, and live stream craps out, I've got a backup on YouTube. So it's really, and then the live stream creates a local copy for me as well. So it's actually in three places, which is really good.
The backup of the backup of the backup.
Yeah. Well, you've talked about this before. You don't want to that call of shame, right? After you're done. You don't want to make that phone call. So that's the way I do it. But, so the raw file, the raw YouTube file, sits in a separate account from my podcasting YouTube account. And it's just the raw file. And I just leave it out there. I don't really mess with it. I download that because we make some edits to it. I cut the ends off. I add music. And those are all things that are not very easy to do inside the YouTube editor. I mean, the YouTube editor's gotten better. But it's still not great. It's not as easy to make those kinds of changes. You don't get the kind of video control that you want inside that editor. I have to bring it down. Well, if I'm going to bring it down, then I might as well make really good changes to it and then upload it again to my official YouTube account for viewing. And that's the one I embed in my blog. That's the one I pimp when I start tweeting and those kinds of things. And so I have these two separate. I've got this raw video, and then I've got the produced video kind of going at the same time. And it's not super clean, but it works. But the video that's on the event page, guess what that is? That's the raw video, right? That's lives. So the raw video lives with the event page, and I have no way of replacing that. I guess I could go in I think about it. I guess I could go in because there's an area in the event page. If you go to advanced, there's an advanced tab for the event. You drop that down and you can get some features and it'll say YouTube video. So I guess I could go back into the event and replace that video out. So folks, but so then here's the $1 million question. Do I want to be sending people to YouTube or Google Plus to view the podcast, right? No, I want them to come to my site, right? I want them, I embed that YouTube player on my page so that it draws them to my site. We were just talking about this with the podcast awards, right? I mean, why does Todd do what he does with the podcast awards? It's to drive traffic to his site.
Yep.
And so, so I go through all this gyration on the events page to collect the chat. So it's all in one place and it's really nice. And by the way, the Q&A feature, if you're using Q&A on Google Hangouts and you click on answer question and then click it off, that actually stays with the video. So you can watch the video later and that Q&A is right on the side. And so people watching it after the fact can see the question and then hear you answer it. And then you can skip to any part of that video that has the question.
Anyway, interesting.
Yeah, so they're coming up with some really cool podcasting features, but I guess the question stands, do I still want to send people to YouTube? Because that's what they want, right? That's why they're doing this, you know? Or do I want to embed as many features as I can on my own page?
I guess that is the question, is what's in it for Google at this point? Besides the fact that that video is going to live on your YouTube account, which will drive more people to YouTube.
Well, they're transcribing them, right? And so I think eventually the goal is signals, right? All that stuff. Once it's not great, the transcriptions, by the way, if you haven't checked out transcriptions on YouTube video yet, especially for your podcast, that's something you want to take a peek at. They're making it easier and easier than, because, you know, if you look at the transcriptions today, it's garbage, right? I mean, it's not very good. They get about every third word right. And, you know, they're still working on it. That they'll fix that. Google will get that right eventually, and it'll be dynamite. And if you don't like it, you can go in and edit it really easy. I mean, you could go in there, and as the podcast going, if you're fast enough, you could fix their mistakes and then re-upload them or save them, you know, as a fix. And so so their SEO, their engines, their crawlers will crawl those. It will crawl what you say. Right, we've had this conversation too about podcasting. Do you include a transcript of your podcast? Well, Dave, you know, how hard is it for the average podcaster to do a transcript on their podcast?
Well, the thing is, I mean, there are services that do that, but the service that I've used in the past, which I believe is just transcribeme.com, if I remember right, they do a great job of typing it up exactly the way you say it. The bad news is I do not talk the way I write.
Right.
And so for me to put that on a blog post, then I have to do so much work to kind of rearrange it and put in periods and commas where they're needed and things like that. And they have a service that'll do that for you, but it's more money. And I just went, So,
but imagine Google doing it for you.
Yeah.
And it just being there. Of course, they want it. That's SEO, right? They're going to crawl that, and that will allow. That'll show up in their search engine and people will be able to go, oh, this was talked about in this podcast. And so for them, that works real well for their search engine. And so that's their motivation to do it. And eventually, but our motivation is I want folks coming over to my page. And so I'm struggling through, I'm starting to think, I love this Q&A feature for what we do for Call to Coach here at Gallup for that podcast. I think that Q&A feature would be dynamite, right? We could actually, you know, people could submit those questions. It's super clear. He was getting, I couldn't believe how many questions he was getting during his podcast. I mean, he must have gotten 25 or 30 questions out of maybe 50 or 60 people who were listening to the show at the time live.
Jeez.
Man, that's great engagement. I mean, it was amazing engagement. I'm like, I'd love to be able to capture these questions with the video and then have that display back again. But to do that, you can't embed that player on just your page. That's only available on Google Plus. So I started thinking, okay, so do I, you know, currently we do coaching.gallup.com/live. That's an embedded YouTube player, which wouldn't play the Q&A. And it has live stream chat at the bottom, which I can't keep ever. Do I keep going that route or do I really start moving? Do I start driving people to an event page on Google Plus and make it that way? eventually, right, you've seen from this Saturday morning thing, Dave, that when we confuse people when we move all over the place.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, this is horrible. What we're doing. Don't do as we do. We're playing and tweaking. And it's yeah. I'm sure to a certain extent, they're kind of like, well, let's watch Twitter and see where Dave and Jim are today.
Right. Right. And it confuses people. Now, imagine most of the people you reach out to are fairly tech savvy. So they get it. John Parker found us over here. Ron found us over here this morning. I tweeted out to my listeners. I don't know if any of them have come over. And then you get there and you're like, oh, crap, I got to create a Mixlr account. I really want another account?
Yeah.
You know, crap. So it's one of those things. It's one of those things. If I'm moving, Ron or John Parker, that's what he just said. He said that he had to check Twitter to get, to find the show. So I'm just thinking through that process of where do we really want to land these folks? Because you do want them, you're trying to drive them to school of podcasting.fm, right?
That or .com/live, either one.
There you go. And because you want them to come to your page and see all your cool stuff.
Right.
You know?
Hey, we're going to try something with your audio.
Okay.
Turn yourself back up and I'm going to turn you down.
All right. Here we go. Going back up. It is up now.
Much better.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
had a little bit of the ocean thing going on there.
Oh, nice. I love the ocean.
So I was like, So I did want to answer John's question. He says, when you guys do the podcasters roundtable, how do you get great quality audio from the last one I heard? It sounded like one guy was creating a delay by using mix minus way. Yeah, unfortunately, John from Let's Re something, he's going to kill me.
Don't you hate that?
Oh, it's something Let's Blah Blah Obesity. Let's Reverse Obesity.com. Thank you. What a way to win. and he was using Mix Minus. And I think everybody hears Skype. I have to learn Mix Minus. And the only time you need Mix Minus is if you're going to, all of a sudden in the middle of your show, you're going to do, I went to hit the button and, you're playing sound effects and all that other kind of stuff. You have to do a Mix Minus because I can't send, Jim is coming in. I'm not going to go through the whole, trying to explain a Mix Minus via audio is, you might as well just... I might as well explain Mix Minus through interpretive dance. But it caused a big problem because he was sending our audio of us back to us, basically making a feedback loop. The bad news is it's usually like about a second, maybe a half a second loop. And it just makes everybody sound drunk because you're trying to talk as you hear your own voice come back at you. And so the other thing we do is when you go into... You're in the Hangout. In the upper right-hand corner, you have a settings button. And if you go to audio, there are two options. One is called... Help me with this, Jim. One's called Studio. The other one's called, just Talk.
In Google?
Yeah.
In the Google Hangout? Yeah, Studio Mode and Voice.
Voice, yeah. So we all switch to Voice if you've got the bandwidth for it, even though I don't think it really affects greatly the bandwidth. But we switch to Voice. And then Ray just pulls the video down and strips the audio out is how he gets that. So, but yeah, unfortunately, and I was talking with John later, I said, if you're just going to a Hangout and you're not going to be playing any kind of sound effects or something where you're mixing in another person's voice, you're just going to the Hangout. Because I think he has an Audio-Technica 2100. I'm like, just plug that bad boy in via USB and let the Hangout do the mixing. You don't have to do anything like that. So
yeah, that's what I'm doing right now in my office. I've got a 2100 and I'm just plugged right into the computer.
Yeah. So it's
great that way.
Yeah. So sometimes we get kind of hung up. I know, my friend Cliff Ravenscraft uses Mix Minus for everything, but you don't really need to. And it actually adds a level of complexity when you do that in many cases you just don't need. If I always say, I have a couple of people that do interview shows. And they always feel like they have to play the intro music and everything else. And that's the other thing. If you have a guest that's coming on in the 7-minute mark, they got to sit through the 7 minutes where you say, hey, please like us on iTunes and blah, blah, blah. And, this week I had scrambled eggs or whatever it is you're talking about at the beginning of your show. And they got to sit there. And then the other thing you have to think about I've had some really, I've been very lucky to have some really great guests on my show. I've also had some that I'm like, wow. I had a guest who shall go unnamed, but it would be like me saying, I want to upload my show to iTunes. If you know anything about podcasting, you know that sentence makes me look really stupid because you don't upload things to iTunes. You get into iTunes via RSS. And I've had guests that have said things like that, that I go, ooh, wow, they're really going. If I leave that in, my audience is going to just chew them up and go, that person doesn't have a clue what they're talking about. And so I went and edited that out. And or you just have that guest that answers everything with a yes or a no. And you're like, oh, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the fun thing alive. And I definitely love having a chat room and getting that live feedback. That is definitely a huge carrot to live. The risk, I guess you could call it a risk, that you're taking is if you're interviewing people, you know, it could go horribly wrong. And if we had the phone going, I know eventually we will get our first ever Baba Booey phone call.
And not just Ryan Parker or Mike Phillips calling.
So, yeah, so that's, you know.
They're probably over on Spreaker right now going, oh, how come they're not here?
Where'd they go? Yeah, I'm sure that's it. So, you know, so the mix minus thing is really, it's not as bad. Is when I say it adds more complexity, it doesn't make it impossible. You just have to kind of mind your P's and Q's with your mixer board. But it's not something that's really needed. If you're just going to a hangout, you can just plug your microphone directly in.
And Dave, I'm not sure you need it. So some of these new USB boards that, like I have an Alesis Multimix 8, mm-hmm. Connects via USB. I don't think you have to have a mix minus with that to make it work so that your audience can hear what's coming off your board. So I think now it's been a while since I set that thing up, and I'm kind of an anti mix minus guy, which makes all the podcasters that talk to me really mad because they say, you have to have mix minus. You have to, you know, the other day I was talking with, I think it was Mike Phillips mm-hmm. Last week. And he was like, no, you have to have mix minus. And I'm like, I don't think you do with some of these newer mixers. I think it handles all that because when I'm at home and I run my shows, I mean, I've got my ATR 2100. It could be any mic plugged into to channel one, and I plugged anything else in there. Now I'm playing. I actually bring a signal back from my broadcast server so I can hear what's going on is there, and I've got that figured out. I'll have to sit down and map that to see. Maybe I've got some kind of modified mix minus, but I tried to do everything I could not to do mix minus when I set up my board the first time because I didn't want that complexity of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure with some of these USB boards you have to do that. Can I throw one tip into
sure.
just before I forget what this is? We were talking about recording when you're doing your intro, you're having a guest and you're doing an intro and maybe you got a 7-minute opening. Record that opening before you ever even call your guest, right? Jump on, get ready, get your stuff done, get that out of the way. But I think it's important that you get it in the same session because sometimes if you try to do it later or after the fact, your audio will sound different. Mm. And then you get this weird effect where, you know, your intro is, hey, welcome the guest, you know, whatever like this. And then you come back to this kind of quality. And
yeah,
you know, it's kind of odd. So get on a few minutes early, record your intro, get all that stuff out of the way. And by the way, yeah, don't put the music in. We do it here live, Dave. We wouldn't have to do that, right? We could. I like it, to be honest. It gets me all kind of fired up for the podcast. But you don't have to enter the music in first thing. Get that intro out of the way. Stop the recording. Call your guest. Do the thing. Then get back. Dave, let me ask you this question, though. When you're interviewing a guest, those first 10 minutes can be really stiff. Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, I do like to do this. And then they figure out, you know, they relax and the end of the interview is dynamite. And mm-hmm. I always think maybe I should reverse my questions. So I ask the questions I really want people to listen to in the back so that I can move them up front later, you know, because you can move those things around in order.
Right. That's true.
When you're doing it. Have any tips to get your guests kind of loosened up a little bit, maybe earlier in the podcast?
Well, number one, and again, because it's not live, I, you know, call them up. Hey, it's really great to meet you. I usually try to find something on their website. I mean, there's a reason why I've asked them to come on the show, and it sounds, and it's heartfelt. I'm not doing this just to do it, But if I find something on their site I really like or a question, I do something to show, hey, I did some homework on you. And I really liked it when you did this or that. Or, hey, you say you use this or that. And just to, it sounds weird, but just to show them, hey, I'm just not some guy that I want you on the show. There's a reason why I want you on the show. And I've had people that are amazed when I'll ask a question about something on their book. And they're like, wow, you actually read the book? And I'm like, well, yeah. And they're like, well, you don't realize there are a lot of people that don't. So by kind of showing them just a little bit of love up front that, hey, you know, this is why I like this and that. And then I always explain to them, okay, if you've never been on a podcast, you know, I'm recording this now, but if for any reason you say something and you're like, ugh, you know, can I do that again? Just go, ugh, we'll do it again. We'll wait for 5 seconds. I'll give you a little bit of silence so I can come back and edit it later, but it's really no big deal. So if at any time in the conversation something isn't going the way you want it, just throw up a flag. It's no big deal. It's not live radio. And that seems to, especially if you have somebody who's new to podcasting or in some cases new to being interviewed. I had somebody once that was their very first interview. And the other thing that, and I always find this weird, and it's hard to say this without sounding kind of like an egomaniac, but I do occasionally run into the person that like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm being interviewed by Dave Jackson. And that always throws me for a loop because I'm just a dude in my office. It's no big deal. But that, in that case, just asking them about their day, what have they been up to, and just kind of, I don't know, kind of just establishing that, hey, look, I'm just a guy kind of thing. And you just get talking. And so that usually takes, you know, somewhere between, I don't know, 10 and 15 minutes. So usually if I schedule a half hour interview, I'll actually say I'm going to need an hour. And the reason for that is I want like a quick 10-minute kind of warm up, explain to them what they're going to do, and then usually do the interview. And the thing that almost always happens is, and I always say, hey, I'm recording now, or if I'm recording from the very beginning, I'm going to say, hey, just so you know, I'm recording this now, but, you know, that's just so I don't forget or whatever. And then at the very end of the call, I let them know I hit stop now. And I usually don't hit stop until I'm 2 seconds to saying goodbye, because many times I will say, you know, and that's it. That's the end of the interview. And then they'll go, okay, great. And without the pressure of the record button on, all of a sudden they'll just unleash this incredible amount of gold. And when they say that, I'll say, well, just for the record, you know, I'm still recording. I said the interview was over, but I never said I hit stop. And I'll say, can I use that in the podcast? And they'll be like, oh yeah, if you want to. Wow. Okay, cool. And so that seems to sometimes happen. It doesn't happen a lot, but on occasion. And then the other thing I do is at the end of it, I kind of get a verbal, what's the word I'm looking for? Sign off. Yeah. And I'll say, was there anything in this podcast that you would want removed, or are you okay with it, or whatever? And 99.9% of the time, they'll say, oh yeah, that's fine, thanks. And then I'll say, well, I'll try to get it done before it gets published. You know, would you like a link? And most people, because they trust you enough to come on their show, they're like, no, that's whatever. If you want to do that, that's great, but it's not needed. So
have you ever thought about, and I've been doing a lot of thinking, I do a little podcast consulting as well, and I'm working, coaching some of these. They don't even consider themselves podcasters for the most part, right? They're doing interviews, they're doing marketing for their business and such like that. Mm-hmm. So have you ever thought about not ever just starting the show when you're interviewing somebody? And so you're talking, you know, you and I, we're talking. And one of those things that tightens up the show is they're like, okay, let's get started, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the worst sentence you can use to somebody who's nervous or anxious. You almost just kind of want to say, so you're talking, you and I are talking, blah, blah, blah. We're talking, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here with Dave Jackson. We're talking about podcasting. Dave, tell me what you think about, you know, so you give yourself an in at that point, a place to start with that, but you don't ever allow that casual conversation to end, so to speak, right? Or you creatively find a way to get into asking the questions. Because I've noticed what you do, right? Your interviews are segments on your show. Mm-hmm. So you preface them anyways without the guest there. You're saying, hey, I talk with Jim Collison about having your podcast everywhere. This is my interview with Jim. And then you get that fancy little whoosh or whatever it is, right? And then you're in. And you could start anywhere in that conversation. It would be fine. I'm not sure you always need to lead in with, okay, let's start the interview type deal.
Yeah. You know? The other thing that I've found myself when, if I go back and listen to stuff I've done that I go, ugh, I need to edit that out, is I will say to my audience, here I'm interviewing Jim Collison. He's from theaverageguy.tv. He does X amount of shows and blah, 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 blah. And then I go, and here's my interview with Jim. Whoosh. Okay, joining me via Skype is Jim Collison from The Average Guy. It's like he gets introduced twice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've noticed that, and I now cut that out. A lot of times I will introduce the person to the person just so they kind of hear how they're being set up, which again is a nice little, I guess, depending on how you look at it. On some,
but maybe
people,
that freezes them up,
yeah,
too.
Because they might go, oh man, I got to live up to that awesome introduction now. Holy
exactly.
cow.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm almost inclined just to let them. So they're having this chit chat, right? And this happens. You're having this really comfortable chit chat. And then you're like, let's start the show. I'm thinking as I interview folks, I'm going to try just start asking questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let that naturally lead in, and then find the best place to jump into the interview, and then pre or post record an intro that I can jump in with. I think that might get a more relaxed, consistent podcast than those first 10 minutes being really stiff and boring.
Yeah, Jeff Roney's in the chat room. He has a great tip here that I used to do all the time. And when he put that in the chat room, I'm like, oh, why am I not doing that? And he said, have them cut an ID. You know, this is Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and you're listening to the, you know, AverageGuy.tv podcast or Home Tech Weekly?
Yeah, Home Tech.
Just Home Tech. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast at HomeTech.com, AverageGuy.tv.com. And I just made up your own. You have a new domain name, man.
I like that. Actually, I've been. You mentioned that, but when I interviewed you months ago, I was going to, I don't think I did this, but I was going to have you cut an intro for me. Hey, this is Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and you're listening to Home Tech on the AverageGuy.tv. You know, and then play that at the beginning of the shows, and the idea would be to build up a library of that.
See, that's me. I found a folder that's like, it just says IDs, and I open it up, and there's Dr. Dave from Shrink Wreck Radio and all these other people, and I was like, because I used to use them as transitions between topics.
Yeah. Well, and I had Kelly Lewis at one point. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten a chance to meet her to meet up, and I had my voice recorder with me, and I said, hey, Kelly, would you be so kind to, you know, open my show for me? And she's super gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly Lewis is the queen of podcasting. She does such a nice job of that. And so she did it. And then later I found out it didn't record.
Oh, don't you hate that?
So mad. I got everything else that evening. We did a meetup. And so I interviewed people at the meetup as well. By the way, interviewing your listeners at a meetup, dynamite.
Ah, I'm dynamite. Actually working. I'm starting to look into that. I want to have a meetup in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out where and when and how. And it's,
you should do a meetup in your local area there. We should do a Cincinnati meetup or something. You know,
that'd be fun.
I bet you could attract some folks to that. You know, I ran into one of I was at a college event here in town, and I ran into one of my listeners who I've run into before, and I recognized them this time. They love that stuff. They love to just run into you and talk to you like you're a normal guy.
There you go.
You are.
Right? Well, actually, I auditioned for a band last week, and the lead singer is like, are you the marketing musician guy? And I go, yeah. So that was kind of weird. It's like, wow, okay, cool. Hey, I did want to talk about one thing, which kind of fits in to, since you brought up segments. I had a person in my chat room this week that said, it says, one of my biggest problems is to narrow down my topics. I get a bunch of ideas when I'm speaking to someone or listening to other podcasts, but how can I focus? Which I thought was interesting that he was talking me, who is not always the most focused guy on the planet, how to focus. And my thought was, number one, if you have multiple topics, like for me, I do the School of Podcasting, and I purposely said we talk about all things podcasting because I really didn't want to be limited as long as it somehow affects my audience some way. So I do talk about gear. I talk about interviewing techniques. I talk about, you know, news and podcasting. I talk about people who are having doors opened. And that's kind of come across just the last couple, the last year or two, where I started to kind of go to segments. Although I've kind of, if you went back and listened to the old ones, they're kind of that way. But that would be one thing. One of my podcasts that I listen to is a guy named George Harab. And he's a He does the Geologic podcast, and it's all, he's actually, I think his technical term is he's a skeptic. You might call him an atheist, but he's really into science. He's also a musician, and he's also incredibly, incredibly creative. He's done some really hilarious kind of comedy skits and things like that. And he just has segments. So one of them is called The Religious Moron of the Week, and which I listen to and go, yeah, he's got a point. And all these other things. So it might be, if all these topics fit around one major category, you may not have to scale down. Now, with that said, there are those people that say the more scaled down you get, the more, the deeper the connection with your audience. So people are going to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this person is talking to me. But the other thing I would say is write down the topics that might be a topic for a podcast and see which ones come easier. Like which list grows faster? Because that may be the one you want to go with. Because in the end, the thing I think that kills a lot of podcasts is the harder it gets to create content, the more likely you are to pod fade, as we say. And so if you can go with the easy one and then maybe branch out later to other things. And a podcast is somewhat organic. You can always change it as you go along. But Jim, any thoughts on that?
Well, in chat, we were just talking, a little chat going on while you were talking about that. You know, as you're getting these ideas, you might during the day, like you always got your phone with you in most cases. So jot those ideas, you know, get a phone, get a little note app on your phone, or just voice record them into your phone.
That's it. You
know, make a note and talk about it right into the phone.
This is cool that my phone is actually plugged in. Let's see here if we can play one here. I'll turn this up. I have no idea what this is going to say. Just my note says Barry Katz live is dead. So I have no idea what this means, but we'll hear.
22 mark of Barry Katz with Larry Little talks about how TV shows are now more DVR'd than live.
So that was my point, the fact that time shifting is now more popular. And this guy, Larry Little, is a big, huge TV executive. And they're noticing now that more people are watching TV via DVR than they are actually live. So the days of must-see Thursday night, stop everything, that's been long dead, and now the stats are starting to show that. And I was listening to that in a podcast, and I just hit voice memo, and, you know, I go ahead and hit record, and then you just heard what it is. I say, here's where to find it, because it doesn't do any good to say, you know, blah, blah, blah podcast, if I need to say who the guest is, because it may be a week or two before I come back to pick this up.
Right. Yeah. You know? Give yourself as much meta as you can when you're doing that, because you will forget. One of the things Jeff Rodney said, he said, sit on a list for a day and see which one resonates the next day.
Oh, yeah.
I love the 24-hour rule, which is don't act on anything until you've thought about it for 24 hours, because it makes a big difference. You know, what was cool today may not be a great idea tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, this is going to be great. And then maybe not.
I have an episode that is probably going to happen at the School of Podcasting that is going to be like any other episode I've ever done at the School of Podcasting. And it's really kind of it's different. It's a little out there. And you'll know it when you hear it. But it just keeps coming back to me and saying, you know what, this would be fun. It'd be entertaining and educational. It's not the way I typically deliver stuff, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I got to do that. So I'm actually working on it as we speak. But that is a great idea. And that's actually what I do with, I use Feedly as my RSS reader, and I set up what are called tags. So if I'm going through and I see a topic or a story, I'll say, oh, this is good for School of Podcasting. This one's good for Logical Weight Loss, whatever. And then when it comes time to do the podcast, many times it's days later, I will go through, reread the story. And if it still makes me go, oh, wow, that's really cool. Or, you know, wow, my audience is really going to love that. Then I'll go ahead and talk about it. I'll go out and read the story, probably do some Google searching, see if there's anything that wasn't covered in the story. And at that point, it makes it onto the show. But that is, it's a great idea, because if it's still resonating with you, you know, 24 hours later, then it's probably worth talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, very cool. But yeah, the voice recorder is definitely one of my favorite tools. Can we take a quick 2-second tangent?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is awesome.
It's our show, Dave. We can do whatever we want.
There is a guy that works at my McDonald's. So if you ever think I can't be a podcaster, this guy can barely talk, and yet he works the drive-through window. So here we go. You guys ready?
Yeah, go.
We'll see if this guy is going on.
Did you guys understand it? He said, hey, good morning. Would you like to try an Egg McMuffin? Egg something white.
No, thank you. I just need one Egg McMuffin and a glass of water, please. That's it.
$2.79 at the first window. Yeah, $2.79 at the first window. And I was like, oh, we're doomed as a society. And I heard, and I frequent that McDonald's much more than I should. And I was like, I got to get that guy on a recording. Now, that's for the record, that's incredibly illegal to do that. But I do not have his permission.
For the it's also incredibly, I shouldn't say illegal, but, you know, to play an entire Matthew West song at the end of one of your podcasts.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I had somebody, you know what's interesting about that is I had somebody email me. Because if you listen to the very end, I say,
I
kind of jokingly said, I really love the guitar tone. And is this me trying to use it for fair use? Yeah, maybe. And I had somebody email me and said, Dave, how were you able to get clearance on that? And I emailed him back. I said, you didn't listen to the other podcast then, did you? Which is funny because I do that and then play the rest of the song.
Yeah, you do. I kept waiting for it to cut off. I'm like, he's going to play the whole song.
Yeah, I just was like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll be the first person to get sued. For the record, I did contact his record label. I did contact his media person. I contacted everybody I could because I really was like, I've got to get this. This just fits into everything I was just talking about. And so I did, in that case, very much think with my heart and not my head. And, you know, I could never get a response. Now, on the other hand, I often play a little transition music where these guys say, if you like what you hear, go tell somebody. That is the band King's X. Now, for the record, King's X is their own record label. They're kind of independent at this point. They had their own. They were on, I think, Atlantic back in the 80s. And they're very much connected to their audience. And I emailed them and said, hey, I really, really like this song. It ties into what I'm doing. You know, if I put a link in the show notes, can I use this song? And they're like, hey, use it however you want. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. And it was from like the drummer. It wasn't like even their media representative. And so consequently, I play the one all the time. And I just put out on Twitter a link to the video and things like that. So, but I have found, and that's one of the things I'm looking into, because I get that question a lot. I really, like, I even emailed them and said, I wouldn't mind making this song my theme music, you know, and I'm willing to pay. Tell me what hoops I need to jump through. Do I need to go through, oh, I forget the name of the service, Harry something, Harry Fox, I think it is, agency, and this and that. I need to get a hold of Brian Ibbett, who does Coverville. I know I have a interview of him from, I think, the very first podcast expo, and I need to listen to that, because the bad news is there's no real, like, even though there are people that have blazed that trail gets blown over the minute they walk down it, because there aren't that many people doing it. If the record industry was smart, they would set up like a podcast license that you could use this song X amount of time based on how many downloads you have. And that's the problem, is with a podcast, it's downloadable. So, you know, that's what makes it a little different than radio. But I've tried very, very hard. And at the end, I was like, you know what? If I go to jail, it'll be great publicity. So I went ahead and threw it in.
My son was in a band that wasn't, you know, it was a garage band type deal, right? They tried doing some things on their own. They tried publishing some things. They never had a publisher or anybody pick them up or sign anything. They sold everything on their own. But they had a really cool riff in one of their songs. And so I asked them, hey, can is it all right if I do this? And they fell all over themselves. They're like, are you kidding? Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They wanted to get their music out there. And so Mike Phillips has joined us out there. Finally, he has found us this morning. And he makes a comment, yeah, you do have to be careful, because once the artist signs with the distributor, those rights, those artists no longer, in most cases, own the rights to their own music.
Yeah, it's
and so they can't give you permission.
Well, it's tricky because you have the songwriter, the song performer, which isn't always the same person. Then you have the publishing people, which is usually the record label. So yeah. It gets kind of tricky.
I had a buddy. I needed some opening music for Home Tech. And so if you ever listen to my podcast, that opening riff is one of the guests or one of the hosts, former hosts, sitting down in his, you know, basement with his guitar and recording that in with his iPhone type thing into, you know, he had it all set up, kind of a real cool setup. And then he went back in and added some drums and a little bit of bass to it. And so it's just a riff, right? It's not a song. It's just a riff. Well, it's a couple. You could probably. You were doing that the other day. You know, well, you were singing, which was okay. But you could probably sit down, Dave. I was thinking about asking you. I thought, man, you could probably sit down with an electric guitar and come up with a couple good riffs that nobody owns.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
You know.
Yeah.
So
I've actually had numerous people somewhere in the future. I'm going to play out an episode of the School of Podcasting and more people like more guitar. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. Isn't that funny? We should, you know what you should do? Think about this. When I was in the military, I was overseas. We would sit around on the weekends goofing off and we would come up with our own endings. So we thought of this album that was just endings, song endings, because, you know, it's, you know, train wrecks, right? At the end where, and it's, you know, the guitar's wailing. And again, If you're musically inclined at all, or you've got a friend that's musically inclined at all, it doesn't take much to put two or three chords together.
Yeah,
spin that thing around, add a little bit to it, and you've got a little bit of you might have an opener there.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I looked at the clock.
Yeah, we're done.
And we're done. So we'll fade in the music here, and I want to thank everybody who took the time to find us today, as we dip our toe in the Mixler water now. And yeah, your audio sounds. I should have had you do that little volume trick at the beginning.
Mm, that's all right.
But hey,
we'll get this thing figured out.
That's it. That's half the fun of it, and it'll be cool. It'll be fun. So, and I do plan on getting this in iTunes eventually.
Yeah, no sweat. You know, I think we get this thing figured out and go from there.
Exactly. So we'll see you again next Saturday, 10:30. You can always find us at schoolofpodcasting.com/live, and whatever platform we're on, you'll find that player there. That makes life easier. And Jim, anything coming up for you in the next week or so?
Oh, well, thanks for letting me pip it, but no, nothing special. Just head out to theaverageguy.tv.
All right, and you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com, and we'll see you again next Saturday. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Dave.